You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
With all that you have been through as an Aboriginal child, how did you turn out to be a community role model?
Well, it was just because of my teaching from my great teacher, my father, my hero. And it's only because of him that taught me at a young age how to be myself, to know who I was and to know my belonging and to know my culture and my Aboriginal spirituality. And that's the strength that my father put, that's the strength of that seed of that teaching my father planted in me. And that seed, as I started growing up and going into the white society, coming across all negative attitudes of different people, that seed still kept so strong right inside my spirit. And that's what kept me going with my pride and my dignity as an Aboriginal woman.
Many in the Filipino community, in particular in Sydney, know about you and Auntie Beryl. How did you immerse with the Filipino community and how did you meet Deborah?
It was when we first started building up our Women's for Spirit event for Women's Reconciliation. We were having our meeting in Newtown. That was about the second meeting, and we had more women attending that meeting. It was expanding that reconciliation gathering. And in Newtown, in that time of that gathering, of that reconciliation day, I recognized we had a couple of new ladies that came, and one of them was Deborah. And so Debbie and I got talking and introducing one another to, you know, introducing one another, started talking and yarning, and we're all talking about what's next, planning for our next meeting at our reconciliation group gathering. So time went by. We're still seeing one another at the meetings, the reconciliation gatherings. Time went by, and then one day, because I lived on the block in the Aboriginal community, I lived in the bottom of Everly Street, and it's next to the great big main busy road street. And so one day there, I was watering my garden there, and I see these Aboriginal boys running. And when I see the boys running like that up Everly Street, I'm thinking something's gone wrong. Something's happening. These boys done something. So they run past me, past my place, and into the lane way of the community. And then I thought to myself, something's happened. Still watering my little garden, and I see this young woman coming up the street there. And she was walking really fast and really nervous looking. Her expression, you know, was really nervous. And I looked across at her, and she looked over at me, just looked over at me, and she looked again, and I looked the second time at her. Both of us thought the same time, hey, I know you. I see you. I met you. And I looked at her, and I said, and she went, oh. I said, hello, I know you. She said, yes, I remember you too, at the reconciliation gathering. I said, what are you going? Where are you going? She said, I'm looking for my bag. She said, a couple of boys snatched my bag and run with all my important papers and everything in it, she said. And I said, and where are you going now? She said, I'm going to try and get my bag back. I said, don't you dare walk up that lane there by yourself. I said, you wait until I get my shoes on. So I got my shoes on. I said, I'll take you. So I took her up the lane, and there were some boys sitting in the lane there, you know. And I said, there was a couple of boys run up the lane here just now. And they said, yes. And I said, they took this lady's bag, and she wants it back, and I want it back. And this girl come out of one of the vacant houses, and she come out with her bag. This was Deborah. And she come out with Deborah's bag. And she said, oh, those boys, They just won't stop robbing people, taking people's bags, and I knew that she was in with them too, you know. Anyway, they went in to share the money, and Debbie said, "Oh, thank you, Ali. I'm glad I got my bag back, because the important, my wallet is here, and all my important cards and papers are in the wallet here. I don't care about the money, but long as my papers are and my important cards are here." So that was the day we got really close.
And it grew stronger.
Our friendship grew stronger through that, you know. So we had a film person to come down to do that then, and to do the muck-up of it, you know.
Yeah.
And to come in with the cameras. So that was a good thing for Debbie and I. We've done that for a reason I can't remember. And for some purpose, we done a replay of what happened, the experience Debbie had with the bag snatchers. And it's just happened to be, I happened to be there. She just happened, you know,
You were really meant to be.
And it was the spirit, I believe, because I'm a full believer of the spirit. It was my guide. And the spirit is everywhere. The spirit knows what goes on. And the spirit knows that I can depend on him. So, right from there, that's where our relation, our really friendship, great friendship, really started. From there, and this is over 20 years ago.
Through the video we all watched here today, I can say that you happily shared your story and your family's stories. But what do you want to pass on to non-Aboriginals through your story?
Well, to non-Aboriginal people with our stories is listening to, we have a voice, and we start using our voice now. It's 260 years that us, the first people in this country, has been suffering and put down. Now we're rising up, and our voices are rising up, and now it's time that we believe now it's time for us to use our voices to speak up there and to be listened to. And to understand us, and to know our needs as Aboriginal people in this country. We're the first people before them. And, you know, I think that they've got to understand us and come together and know all about us more and listen to us more now.
How about to Aboriginal people?
And to Aboriginal people too as well. I mean to say, in the 60s, our Aboriginal people got out on the streets as protesters for fair justice and for our rights as people, human beings in this land. So they done all that work back in the 60s, where they protested here in Sydney on the streets. They went to Canberra and they protested on the lawns of Parliament House in Canberra to be, I just wanted to be listened to. And to know what we needed. Tell the people, tell the government what we need. Ask them, come on, turn around, listen to us. This is what we need. And our Aboriginal people done that in the 60s. It happened. The things did happen. We come back from back there. And we come here a little further up. Things were done. They did listen a bit, and they did hand out some fundings for Aboriginal people. And it's these people, Aboriginal people in this red fern here, that are the ones, I call it a birthing place in red fern. What our Aboriginal protesters done in the 60s is done now. We've got all the black organisations now that's all over Australia because of what? The Red Fern Aboriginal protested here for the rights of our people, for the just fair justice of our people, and they set up all these black organisations like Legal Service, Children's Service, Health, Aboriginal Medical Centre, starting things like that. And it's from here, the birthing place, where it happened all around Australia. But we still need to be heard. We still have a greater need to move on now for our younger generation. And they've sort of gone asleep a bit now, our Aboriginal people. They've got to wake up and hear our voices too, hear their own people's voices of the needs that they have to get up and gain that strength like the Aboriginals in the 60s and do the same thing.
Thank you very much, Auntie Ali.
Yes, thank you.
Ito ang Radio SBS sa wikang Filipino.
sbs.com.au